Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code Burt at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/Burt. Enter the code Burt, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute it's carbs are bad, and then the next it's, no, actually carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
The Burt Show.
She's back on drugs.
Yay! Yeah. Welcome back.
Love this for you.
I no longer feel like I'm crawling out of my skin. All right. I will take ownership of this. This was my fault, but I feel like some people contributed to my failure. Okay? So just hear me out here. I take Lexapro for my anxiety. I have for, 7 years now. And at my last physical, which we have every year because we get a cut off of our health insurance. We get cheaper health insurance if you do that. So I don't do it because I want to stay healthy. I do it because I'm cheap. She was talking to me about it and she's like, hey, have you ever thought about weaning off of it? Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no. I mean, before she even got the sentence out, I was like, nope, absolutely not. And so I've been taking it steadily and it works for me. I can tell a difference from my pre-Lexapro life and my Lexapro life that this is just, I'm on the right dose. I'm on the right medication. It makes life more enjoyable for me. And we're here for a short period of time. Let's enjoy ourselves. Mm-hmm. So what had happened is on Friday, and I take my meds at night, I look and I'm like, oh, this is it. Like, this is my last dose. And normally I get a text reminder from my pharmacy letting me know, hey, your prescription's ready to pick up. I never got one of those. And I go, I bet it's because my pharmacy closed down and I have to go to a new one and maybe they just didn't transfer over, text messages, whatever. So I'm like, no biggie. So life is lifing. You get busy. I hit up the pharmacy and they're like, yeah, no, we have nothing on record for you as far as like a prescription to pick up. And I'm like, what? So I'm like, crap. Now I have to go figure out, find my chart, sign into my webpage to see all my stuff. And I'm looking.
You really need the meds now.
Oh my God.
I'm stressing you.
So I sign into my MyChart and I'm looking and I'm like, okay, there's a page where you can go to renew your meds. This is the page I need to go to. So I go to that page. That medication is not listed there.
Wow.
To be able to request a renewal.
How could that be?
I have no idea. So now I'm like, and so I'm like, okay, well, we'll send an email and I'll be like, hey, I'm out, because this had only been like a day and a half. And I'm like, all right, if I get them tomorrow, we'll be okay. I'm not liking this, but we'll be okay. I hit, and then like I'm waiting. And now it's after out because it's Sunday, so nobody's there. And I'm like, and now that feeling, that anxiety, like that feeling of dread is like washing through my body. And I say dread in like a physical sense. Like, I can literally feel the Lexapro, because it's a slow release. I can literally feel it leaving my body and the anxiety replacing it, right? Mm. So then we had yesterday's show. Bert's out because he's doing he's having a great time with his son Hollis on his senior trip. And I'm like, I have to host the show. I got to raw dog this show on no Lexapro. And I could feel it yesterday and it was more substantial. And then I went home and I literally felt like I had, like, goblins were trying to crawl out of my skin. And so I hit him up again. And then this time I called and I'm like, so here's the deal. And I'm trying to, like, get out the words. And I'm even having a hard time having a conversation with her. I'm probably having a hard time doing this story now, too, because I got to get all my stuff back regulated. And I go, I should have put urgent on it. And she goes, well, did you do a prescription renewal? And I'm like, it wasn't listed there. Like, I couldn't. So I just had to send a message. Well, she gets a lot of messages. I'm sure she does. But I literally said to the nurse practitioner, I'm tweaking. and I'm starting to have an anxiety attack. So if we could, like, expedite this at all possible. And she goes, okay, well, let me talk to one of the, it's not an assistant, but it's another one of her nurse practitioners that works there that covers, like, you know, messages that aren't urgent. And so an hour goes by, 2 hours goes by. Now we're on hour three. My husband's texting me to get updates. And I'm like, what have I done to myself? And I took ownership. I'm like, I should have been more on it. And if you're on any type of medication, like an anxiety, depression, or whatever, every 6 months you got to take a test. And it's this handwritten test to make sure you're still messed up.
Handwritten?
Well, like, it's a form they print out, and you have to go to the doctor's office, and you have to sit there with a pen, and you have to check out on a scale of 1 to 10. How anxious have you been? On a scale of 1 to 10, any, you know, unliving thoughts have you had? Like, you have to go through this whole entire thing to make sure you still need the meds.
Right.
Well, as I'm sitting there tweaking on my couch, like, literally my shoulders are up in my ears and my jaw is clenched within an inch of its life, I'm like, I need the meds.
I don't need a test.
So, and then hallelujah, praise the Lord, I get a ding on my phone. And my poor son Jimmy, I'm trying not to take this out on him because, you know, I shouldn't have to get a pass because I neglected to notice that my prescription was going to run out. So I can't take it out on him that I'm anxiety ridden. So I'm just going to have to, like, breathe through stuff, right? And I get the ding and they filled my prescription. I immediately texted Bart because he was on his way home. I was like, it's ready. He goes, I'm on it. I'm getting it. Like, he knew the emergency. It was like a man coming in with an organ in a cooler. Yeah, in a cooler, one of those, like, styrofoam coolers. And as soon as he walked in the door, he just handed it to me. And I'm like, I couldn't get it open fast enough. But just a heads up, and this was, I haven't done this. I don't think I've ever done this. I know life can get very hectic and can get very much in the way, but you are still a priority. Yourself is still a priority. So whatever kind of self-care you do, or if it's yoga, or if it's meditation, or if it's, you know, medication that you need to balance yourself out, make sure you're on top of it so you don't go 72 hours like I did without any and find yourself. I was out of it yesterday. Like, I was just, yesterday was a wash. I was beating myself up about it. But here we are. We are back. The Lexapro is coursing through my veins again. It's going to take a little bit to balance me out, so maybe I'm just starting the show. Like, just cut me some slack here. But God, it feels good.
Welcome back.
Yeah, let's freaking go.
Let's freaking go.
The Bert Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Bert Show's entertainment buzz.
I would like to say on a lighter note, but unfortunately we got some pretty devastating news last night from Dolly Parton that her devoted husband of almost 60 years passed away. He is the inspiration behind her hit song Jolene. He was 82 years old. He pretty much stayed out of the spotlight. And according to a statement provided to the Associated Press, he died in Nashville and is going to be laid to rest in a private ceremony with only immediate family attending.
Dolly put out a statement yesterday that said, Carl and I spent many wonderful years together. Words can't do justice to the love we shared over 60 years. Thank you for your prayers and sympathy. That, of course, that went out on Instagram. But I was looking at their love story because they have a pretty interesting way that they met. And I've always been kind of fascinated with people's meet cutes. Like when you stay together for 60 years, like, do you meet this person and do you immediately know? So she actually went on Jelly Roll's wife's podcast, the Dumb Blonde podcast. And here is what she described her first meeting with her husband, Carl, to be like.
We're going to talk about Carl for a second. Did you think coming to Nashville, you were going to meet the love of your life?
The last thing I want is a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. I got it, you know, because I'm leaving two boyfriends here. And I kept saying, no, I'm going to Nashville. And the very day I got to Nashville, I met Carl Dean. And 60 years later, I'm still with Carl Dean. You know, he's quiet and I'm loud. We're funny. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's hilarious. And I think one of the things that's made it last so long through the years is we love each other, we respect each other, but we have a lot of fun. We never fought back and forth.
What do you think was the most important but sometimes overlooked aspect of you and Carl's relationship?
Well, he was a homebody, and that worked well for us. He loved to go places if we were going to drive cross country or go where, if we had planned a thing. But boy, he never could wait to get home.
I think it's so sweet. Yeah, how opposite they are, because Dolly Parton, obviously very like eccentric. I mean, you know Dolly Parton when you see her. There is no mistaking her for anybody else. And I think it's cool that she found her perfect opposite to kind of balance out her life. You know, he literally stayed out of the spotlight. Like if you had asked me a week ago, what is Dolly Parton's husband's name? I'd be like, I can't think it's something like from the 1950s. I have no idea. So he really just did his best staying out of the spotlight and supporting her.
Did she say, I left two boyfriends behind, so I didn't want to meet anybody? That's hilarious. I wasn't sure.
Dolly was a dish.
Okay.
Dolly still is a dish.
I love you for her.
She's an icon. And of course, we didn't get to this yesterday, but from the Oscars, Morgan Freeman actually gave a really touching tribute to Gene Hackman, who of course tragically passed away last month. And he gave a really sweet and just heartfelt and thoughtful statement about his friend, who is an Oscar winner, that recently passed away.
Well, this week, our community lost a giant. And I lost a dear friend, Gene Hackman. I had the pleasure of working alongside Gene on two films, Unforgiven and Under Suspicion. He received two Oscars, but more importantly, he won the hearts of film lovers all over the world. Gene always said, I don't think about legacy. I just hope people remember me as someone who tried to do good work. So I think I speak for us all when I say, Gene, you'll be remembered for that and for so much more. Rest in peace, my friend.
I mean, how tough is it to lose your friend and then have to stand up in front of the world and talk about it? So that was really brave of Morgan Freeman.
Well, as I was watching the Oscars, I obviously Gene Hackman 1000% deserves to be in memoriam as an Oscar nominee, an Oscar winner, and all of his contributions to the film industry. Just the fact that his death is still under investigation. I was actually surprised to see him because I figured they would have waited till next year because it was a quick turnaround.
Yeah.
You think maybe they were afraid that if they didn't say anything, they probably would have gotten criticized for that as well?
And I'm sure they would have. And this is the thing with the in memoriam every year. It's a damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing for sure. But just because it's still, and I guess that doesn't matter at the end of the day when you think about it, whether it's still under investigation or not. Bottom line is he's no longer here. His wife's no longer here. His pet's no longer here. So why not include him in the in memoriam? But just even to start the in memoriam like that, because he was one of those, there is always that one person that gets a little more spotlight after their passing because of their contributions or their Oscar wins, et cetera. And then as you watch the in memoriam, because, you know, it's one of those things where you always forget, like, how many people passed away and how many people you knew passed away. So many like big Hollywood hitters over the course of the last year are no longer with us. And I feel like just like as we get older, that's what's going to happen every single year from now on.
All right, Zoe Saldana is catching heat for defending the movie she won an Oscar for. I'm going to tell you why people think she owes them an apology for making it on your next
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now.
Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you.
They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
Buzz on the Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
They're changing the world one idea at a time. They helped men with their post-bathroom dribble in their pants. They've helped those of us who hate doing laundry. And now, producer Jackson and producer Mikey are here to help us deal with traffic.
That is exactly what we're here for. So the way that this works is everyone knows the show Shark Tank, right? We have appropriately dubbed this Stank Tank because Mikey and I sit down and we come up with a problem that needs to be solved in this world, and we come up with ridiculous ways to solve said problems. Bert always says that they're not $1 million ideas. They're maybe not even $1,000 ideas. They're like $10 ideas.
Okay? That's being generous as well.
Probably.
We can afford it.
So like Kirsten said, we are doing traffic and trying to solve the problems around that. Kirsten, after we did this last week, you appropriately mentioned that you all are not sharks. We cannot label you sharks.
Yeah, because it's not Shark Tank, it's Stank Tank.
So you guys will henceforth be known as the Stanks. Okay.
Sweet. Love it.
Understood.
Stanks or Stinks? This is important. You're going A or I?
A.
Okay. Stanks.
For the rhyme.
Got it.
Okay. And so this week, it is going to be Mikey that's going to kick us off.
Hello there, Stanks. I am seeking a lifetime supply of Chester's hot fries in exchange for an idea. An idea, you say? Most of the time, people come on the show with a product that is already established. Why invest in an idea? I'll tell you why, sucker. This is an idea so innovative and groundbreaking, while being so blatantly obvious that you scratch your head and wonder why it doesn't already exist. The idea? Call it the Wakefield Buttons. The Wakefield Buttons are a concept created by a strikingly handsome and surprisingly young inventor. They are a series of buttons installed in your steering wheel that allows you to communicate with the cars around you. You can think of them as emotes. Somebody lets you go in front of them in traffic? Forget the back window wave and simply hit the thank you button that immediately pings the intended car with your message. Sometimes things on the road can get a bit heated, but you're afraid of confrontation and getting hit in the head with a baseball bat. Well, Wakefield's got buttons for you. Here's a scenario. A Kia Soul veers over three lanes and onto the exit ramp, effectively cutting you off.
Of all the vehicles.
Feel free to hit the steaming kettle button to send a light show of middle fingers into their window pane.
That's a light show. Oh,
okay. Suppose something even more atrocious happens, like a hit and run, or you've had a long day at work and someone sits at a green light for slightly too long. Here's a situation that calls for the going ballistic button, where the radio is hijacked and plays freeform jazz at full volume. The Wakefield buttons. Are you ready to take matters into your own hands without getting hit in the head with a baseball bat?
That's my motto.
Okay.
Let's hear the motto one more time,
please.
Yeah, just one more time.
The Wakefield buttons.
Yeah.
Are you ready to take matters into your own hands without getting hit in the head by a baseball bat?
Okay. I mean...
It's a hell of an idea.
It's a slogan, it's for cool. sure.
I don't really see how it helps traffic, but...
You don't have to pull over and fight anybody. You just send a button.
This is only helping in Atlanta.
Yeah. Right. So, Mo, maybe it's not helping the traffic situation, but it's helping you deal with the traffic situation.
I think bullying works. If you start throwing some middle fingers at the other cars, I think that's going to motivate them to simply drive their car and stop the traffic.
So but you won't get hit with a baseball bat.
It
kind of reminds me of it's like airdropping. Like when people on airplanes airdrop stuff. So you're basically just airdropping emotes, as you called them, to other vehicles.
Exactly. Jokes aside, hell of an idea.
Let's give people some more things to pay attention to while they're driving.
And you're asking for what in return?
A lifetime supply of Chester's Hot Fries.
Chester's Hot. Okay. All right. Noted. Jackson, take it away.
All right. Stanks, I want you to take a journey with me. A journey back in time 117 years ago. It was the summer of 1908 in New York City, and a 12-year-old boy sat on a stoop breathing in the warm city air. When just then, one of those newly invented Model Ts came careening around the corner. As the car approached the young boy, all he could do was shout out the window before it was too late, and the car struck the mailbox of the boy's house and dented it slightly. His parents were going to be really upset. From that day on, the young boy swore that this would never happen again and spent the next 5 years inventing a warning system for cars that would make a loud noise when approaching anything dangerous. This boy was actually Tom Hanks's far less famous grandfather, Tim Honks, and thus the horn was born.
You're lying.
Real.
Real?
Real.
I'm fact checking.
No, not today. I totally made this up.
This is from Family Guy.
I only took Tim Hanks from Family Guy. The rest of this. Okay, anyway. Okay. Sorry.
You sold that too well. You really did.
So to pay homage to Tim Honks and all he did for the future of safety, I am introducing Kim Honks. Stanks, don't you think it's about time that we reinvented the same old boring horn that was invented over 100 years ago? With Kim Honks, you can customize up to 6 different sounds to play from your car to really get your points across. Gone are the days where you only have one monotone sound to press when Grandpa Joe jumps out in front of your car in the neighborhood. Now you can play whatever sounds you want out of your car in order to get your point across.
Do we have some of these, do we have some examples of these sounds?
I wish that I did, but that's in development.
He has them memorized, though.
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Yeah,
thankfully. Yeah. Let's hear them.
They're backlogged right now, so we'll have to get to those another day, okay? Uh-huh. Which is why I'm seeking 1 gallon of coffee and a barrel of Cheez-Its in exchange for my entire company. So join me and millions of other fans of Castaway's grandfather in making the world a noisier place.
Doesn't Tesla already do this?
Kinda.
Plagiarism. I'm pretty sure I saw viral videos of people like hitting their Tesla horn and it was just a giant.
Well, you know.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you.
Do I win?
Yeah, who wins?
Oh, do we? Oh, all right.
Nobody wins. After both of those ideas, everyone loses.
The history lesson, guys.
If I have to choose one, I'm going with Mikey.
Thank you.
Go, Mikey.
Yeah, I love an emoji.
All right.
And hot fries.
Go ahead, Tim Honks, and take your horn and shove it.
Let's go from Family Guy, Tesla, and everywhere else.
The Burt Show.
Who covers the cost when it comes to birthday plans? If you're planning a birthday extravaganza, are you on the hook for covering the cost for your guest? Or because it's your birthday, should your guest have to pay
That's the spot Abby finds herself in.
I got in kind of a wholesome fight with some of my friends from back in Florida because they are just some of the sweetest and kindest and just most generous people I know. And I think when you have this trait of hyper-independence, you always just kind of feel like you've got to take on stuff for yourself. But this also has a lot to do with just the way I was raised. So when I was bringing up the plans I wanted to do for my birthday, they kind of got in a fight with me, but not in any kind of mean or malicious way.
So, what are the plans, by the way?
So we're kind of throwing out some ideas. Mm-hmm. So I thought it would just be fun to do like a little beach weekend down in Florida while we're maybe on spring break, or maybe a little bit later when we're on break for Memorial Day weekend. And I was just like, let's just get like, you know, a beach hotel, maybe somewhere in Palm Beach. Maybe Tampa, worst place on earth. Maybe somewhere up in Jacksonville, so it's a little bit more local to like where my family is, and so maybe my family can join in on some of the plans. But I was just kind of throwing out some general ideas. I'm like, let's just get a cute, fun hotel room. Let's sit at the beach. Let's sit at the pool. Let's go to a fun restaurant. Let's take some hot photos because I need to show people that I'm fun and young. So let's just make it a fun, simple weekend. And I think for me, when it comes to birthday plans or when it comes to any kind of plan that you're initiating, I'm very big on if I made the plans, if I've invited you out, if I have set some plans in motion, I think you are responsible for the cost, specifically when it comes to your birthday. In my opinion, if I'm asking you, a 20-something, to go out of your way to spend money that you normally wouldn't spend, in my opinion, I think you should take on the brunt of that cost. So I was telling my friends, I was like, listen, I know the Colony, or I know the Breakers, or I know the White Elephant Hotel in Palm Beach, kind of expensive. Let me treat everyone to a fun weekend. Let me cover the cost of the hotel.
So the Breakers, because I have a good friend that lives in West Palm Beach, and so we will go down there and visit. We've stayed at the Breakers once because you literally have to take out a loan to stay there. It's a gorgeous hotel. Mm. It's beautiful. Okay. But it's like the Ritz on crack when it comes to prices.
Damn.
I might have been hyping myself up by staying the Breakers. maybe like the Holiday Inn next to the Breakers. But
what birthday number is this going to be?
28.
Okay, so yeah. Breakers is for like your 50th or your 40th.
Breakers going to have you broke.
So I was just kind of throwing out some ideas. And I was like, maybe like the Holiday Inn down the street. But I was like, nonetheless, like I'm inviting you to come celebrate me. Let me put my credit card down. And one of my best friends immediately was like, hell nah. Mm. Like, this is your birthday. Like, at the very least, let's split the cost. Like, it's not going to cost us all that much if we all just divvy it up. If you take it on, it's going to be like thousands and thousands of dollars. And we know you're trying to buy a home. So why don't we just do you this solid, and why don't we split the cost? And I don't know why. It just wasn't sitting right with me. I was like,
why?
I don't know. I'm like, I know we wouldn't really be going on this trip if it wasn't for me living another year. And I have no problem being celebrated, but I'm like, it's just, I'm looking at the cost of the Breakers. I'm like, this is a lot of money. And I know if we split it, it's probably going to be fine. But I was like, I just feel like I have to compensate for being celebrated for.
No. You are so in your head, and Mo and I are about to excavate you up out of there. All right. So I think this means you have good friends and you have solid friends. And I know what's going to happen on Friday, because I'm throwing, like, it's not the Breakers. This is a story for another time, but taking some friends out to dinner for my husband's belated 50th birthday, right? And I'm going to want to pick up the tab, but they're going to fight me on it because they're going to want to help to pay for the bill because it's his birthday. So in this instance, when it comes to a destination, because I know that's a bigger deal because you're incurring more cost than just picking up a bar tab or a dinner tab, right? Give them options. Give them three options. Have a high, medium, and a low. And then let them choose. And then, therefore, they're choosing how much money they're spending. And you're scot-free out of it. They want to hang out with you. They want to be with you. They want to celebrate you. And they want to chip in. Girl, you are about to have a mortgage. Let them bees chip in.
Nice. I was about to say, I'm like, can't y'all just Venmo me for my first mortgage payment? Like, I'd rather just have that.
Could you imagine doing a registry for your birthday and being like, I just need money so I can pay my first mortgage payment?
I was like, can you pay for the countertop renovation?
Mo, so, do you chip in or do you, like, when you're selling, if you're, like, say you're planning your own birthday, are you asking people to chip in? Are you going to deny them the opportunity to chip in?
Well, in my experience is, if it's like a dinner, typically you don't pay anything. Everybody pays for you. If it's like a destination experience, usually, I think that's kind of when you find out who your friends are. I've never done the option thing. That's new. Give them options. But yeah, normally, I would just pay for it and see who chips in. Or if I was going to someone's, that's usually how it's been, too. I don't know if it's different with guys and women. I feel like normally with guys, the person whose birthday it is, you set it all up. But then your friends will be like, okay, what's the cost? We'll take care of it. And then you can opt out.
I also feel like with age, it's different expectations. So you're still in your 20s. They're in their 20s. You're not as financially established. So people chipping in makes total sense. For my 40th, we went somewhere tropical. We covered the Airbnb because everybody else was covering airfare. Mm. And that felt like the fair thing to do.
Now, okay. My question is this. I think it's completely fair for you to expect your friends to try to chip in and help out where they can. But do you expect them to chip in and have a gift? I think that's where some people are like, okay, that's where it gets a little tricky.
Hell no. I don't need anything. Like, at this point in my life, I'm at a place where if I need something or if I really want something, I can save up for it. I can plan for it. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because I was raised in like a not big birthday household. Like, we didn't make a big deal about birthdays. We would celebrate. We'd do a little pool party. We call it a day. But the thought of like more gifts just makes me feel kind of icky. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I definitely don't think you should feel the way about people helping. Yeah, not at all.
Let's just go sit our butts on the beach.
Yeah. Take their money.
Take it.
No, just pay for my mortgage that I don't even have yet.
Hey, The Burt Show.
Delete Me makes it easy, quick, and safe to remove your personal data online at a time when surveillance and data breaches are common enough to make everybody vulnerable. It is easier than ever to find personal information about people online. Having your address, your phone number, family members' names just hanging out there online, it's all pretty scary stuff, right? With Delete Me, you can protect your personal privacy or the privacy of your business from doxing attacks before sensitive information can be exploited. Look, I'm online all the time, and it freaks me out that my info is out there. Take control of your data. Keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special discount just for you guys. Get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to join DeleteMe.com/Burt. Use the promo code BERT at checkout. That's joindeleteme.com/BERT. Enter the code BERT, B-E-R-T, at checkout.
Okay, can we talk about how confusing weight loss has become? Like, one minute, it's carbs are bad, and then the next, it's, no, actually, carbs are fine, but only if you walk 10,000 steps and drink a green juice, and honestly, it's just a lot. And then even if you do lose the weight, keeping it off is a whole different story. If you're struggling and want something that fits your real life, Hers can help. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals in a way that actually fits your life. That's why Weight Loss by Hers is getting so much attention right now. Hers connects you with licensed medical providers who create doctor-developed treatment plans tailored to you. They offer access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. It helps regulate your appetite so you eat less and keep the weight off. If you're ready to reach your goals and want to try something new, visit forhers.com/Burt to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/Burt. Forhers.com/Burt. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is a registered trademark of Novo Nordisk A/S. Get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions. Visit forhers.com.
All right, so Mo, you are finally understanding you're finally comprehending and understanding the struggle that other people have dealt with, and this is a first for you.
I genuinely thought I would never be in this place. I would never have this feeling, and I hear people talk about it all the time. It's been a topic on the show, and I almost feel like I need to apologize because every time this comes up, I'm always saying to myself, how is this a thing? Like, how do you feel a way about this? And I think there's even a term for it that Cassie always says, but I forget it. But when people feel emotional about letting go of something materialistic or letting go of an item that's been in your life, and it, like, it's funny. It's just always been funny to me that you would feel a way about letting something go. The closest, I guess, I've ever got to that feeling was my first car. I do remember having a bit of, like, sadness in that because I had so many experiences with it.
Was it a he or she?
It was a she.
What was her name?
Maria.
Oh.
Because it was the very first song I heard when I got into the car.
The Carlos Santana, Rob Thomas. Yeah.
So I was like, oh, she's Maria. This is perfect.
I love that you were listening to a Rob Thomas song. That's so niche.
So that was the last time I ever experienced it. And I know on the show we talk about like letting T-shirts go, letting certain things go, and you feel the emotions. And I've just never been like that. Even things that I've had for years, I get rid of it. It's not a problem for me. I have no emotional attachment to anything. I let it go.
And you've never had any regrets. Like you let, like you threw something away, you let it go, you donated it, whatever. And there was never some time, whether it was weeks, months, years down the road, where you thought back and you're like, man, I wish I wouldn't have got rid of that.
Never.
Really?
That has never happened to me. Not even a little bit. Have you experienced this?
Only because I feel like when I clean out my closet, I'm like, yeah, well, I'm never going to wear that again. And then lo and behold, like a month later, you need to wear that specific item for some reason, which is why I choose to hoard things, because that always happens if you throw it away. That.
See, maybe if I've lost something, I've wished like, I wished I knew where it was. But if I get rid of it, I get rid of it. And that's it. I'm just moving on. And so it
Your
was
Marie Kondo's worst nightmare, man.
Who's Marie Kondo?
So Marie Kondo went, like, she was viral years ago, and she was the woman who was all about teaching people organization and the art of letting go. And so you would take an item and say it's this this water bottle right here, and you'd look at it, and it does it spark joy was the question you had to ask yourself about the item. And if it sparks joy, you keep it. If it no longer sparks joy, you let it go, and then you just say thank you for the memories. And you let it go.
Oh, yeah, I would let everything go.
So my husband, Chad, was like, that doesn't work for me. Like, objects like that don't spark joy. So he came up with one, and it may only apply to parents, but I thought it was beautiful. And it's, if this object had child poop on it, would I wash it off or throw it away? And I'm like, ding, 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 ding. That makes total sense. Is it recoverable or am I done with it? And that's how you would know if you keep it or if it's trash.
And that's why we just threw a pair of Bluey underwear away yesterday.
Oh. Yep.
Not the Bluey underwear.
It has a brownie underwear now. Yeah.
Another accident yesterday that meant no star for Jimmy. And I have to tell them that night, I really, you had an accident, so you don't get a star sticker for your calendar.
Oh, I feel for him.
Don't. He pooped his pants and I had to clean it.
Okay,
but go ahead.
That's fair. So this item, so as I'm clearing out my studio, I'm selling a lot of old equipment because I don't really make music in my home anymore. So I go to other studios for that. So I don't need all of this equipment. So I'm like, I don't want to just get rid of it. A lot of it is expensive stuff. So I decided to start selling it. And as I'm selling everything, I have no feelings about anything. I'm letting it all go. But then comes the one item, which is my very first microphone. It's this microphone has been in my life since the very first song I ever made.
It's like baby's first shoes.
It is, right? Like, I still remember I had just enough money to purchase this microphone at the time. This is like over probably 15 years ago. And it was everything to me. Because when you first start building a studio, I mean, the microphone is like the most important thing. You got to have a good mic. Mm-hmm. And it's like I sold it and everything. I didn't think anything of it literally until the guy was on his way to pick it up. And then that's
You had your first mic and you looked at it and you were like, yeah, I'll put it on like Facebook Marketplace, Craigslist, whatever. And you sold it.
The funny thing is, I didn't even look at it because I didn't even know where it was. I knew I had it. So I just put it up and I'm like, if someone buys it, I'll find it. And then sure enough, someone's like, I want to buy it. So I'm like, cool. So then I go look for it and I find it. And it was like this moment of as soon as I opened the box and took it out the box just to look at it and to relive those memories, I was like, there's no way I can get rid of this.
No.
There's absolutely no way. I cannot do this.
Dude, you have a brand new studio for your podcast, right? You got to get a little glass case. And this is like a memory of where you came from and where you are now. And put that microphone, like set it up in a little glass case. That way you can always look at it and be like, man, look how far I've come. Mm.
Which was my lady's idea. It's exactly what she's. And at first I was like,
that's why I like her.
Right. And I'm like, no, I'll just get rid of it. It's fine. So it's like I held it in my hand like you would hold a baby. And I'm looking at this little microphone like, you're right. And I looked at it and I'm like, you're absolutely right. I mean, all of those memories came back. Oh, like you said, the journey of this was the start of it. And where I am now, it's I'm absolutely going to frame it. I felt bad for having it. The guy's on his way. And I had to tell him, bro, I feel bad about this. Like, it worked out because I had another microphone that he was cool with and I was able to give him that one. But I was
you didn't sell it.
I did not sell that microphone. Yes. I was like, I owe people an apology because now I understand the feeling.
All right, Mo, this is special just for you.
This was my song. Oh, now I miss my car.
Maria. Where are you?
I shouldn't have sold her either.
Yeah, she's in a junkyard somewhere.
I know.
Hey, The Burt Show.
The Academy Awards just went down Sunday night. And for the most part, Abby, no scandals, nothing nothing like a Will Smith slapping Chris Rock across the face. A
couple of cringy moments I think deserve a Razzie Award more than an Oscar, but nothing too heinous.
All right, so I did a little digging. And I have for you the scandals, the dark side of the Academy Awards.
Every industry has its deep, dark secrets until Kristen shines a light on its dark side.
Welcome to my dark side.
I mean, Hollywood's on their best behavior for the most part. Everything looks so polished, so perfect. But guess what? It's not.
All right. Never is.
So again, Will Smith slapping Chris Rock. Everybody knows about that one.
Can you believe that was 3 years ago?
No, I can't.
That blew my mind. Yeah, it was 3 years ago.
It was like last year.
And he's still banned. He's like, he got banned for 10 years or something like that from attending. He's got 7 more years to go. And then calling the wrong name for Best Picture. We remember when Faye Dunaway and Warren Beatty were on stage. They said La La Land won, and it actually turned out Moonlight had won, and that was a huge uproar. Those are ones that people remember. So I'm going to go a little deeper here into some crazy scandalous stuff that has happened, and we're going to go way, way back. But first, you have to think, here we are, the biggest hitters in Hollywood. You have a theater filled with some of the like top tier talent, A-list celebrities. So of course, the Los Angeles Police Department is going to like go above and beyond to protect everybody inside the Dolby Theater, right? So I found out they spend months preparing for the Academy Awards, as they should. They get officials. They have the Academy's private security, LAPD, FBI, various city agencies, for whether it's a terrorist attack, party crashers, everything in between. And they all gather together to make sure they protect the sanctity of the awards and every single person that's in that theater. So hundreds of officers are put on Oscars detail. They have bomb technicians there. They have hazmat teams. They have canine units. They gather information about who might show up at the ceremony. They comb social media for clues about would-be party crashers. So if you're doing any vague booking or posting on social media that, you're going to try to crash the Academy Awards, they already have your name on a list before you arrive. Officers are using mirrors to check under limousines to make sure nobody's trying to sneak in. Other officers go undercover. They wear ball gowns.
Wow.
They wear tuxedos.
Oh, wow.
And they are inside, like, just making sure everybody is staying safe. And on average, how many arrests do you think they make a year at the Academy Awards? Because there are arrests, and this all has to do with people either trespassing or trying to sneak into the award ceremony.
Okay. I would say, in that case, at least 5.
More.
Wow. I'm going to go with 12?
10.
10.
They say they typically make about 10 arrests a year, which we never really hear about, right?
No.
10 arrests a year, most of them for trespassing because people are trying to sneak into the award show or the after parties and stuff like that.
That makes sense.
All right. So now we're going to go way back. But this story, I feel, needs to be told if you don't know it. So Hattie McDaniel made history as the first Black Oscar winner for her performance as Mammy in 1939's Gone with the Wind.
Wow.
I told you. We go way back. Mm-hmm. Now, the hotel where the Oscars were being held had a very strict segregation policy. So she had to sit, even though she won an award, she had to sit at a table by herself.
What?
It was so messed up. Yeah, it was really messed up.
Yep.
So she's forced to sit at a separate table. She won a plaque because supporting actors won plaques, not the actual statuettes. It was just like the best actor, best actress. So she wins and she gets her plaque. Well, when she died in 1952, she willed her Oscar to Howard University, and which I thought was super cool. They finally got it in 1961.
What?
No idea how or why it took so long, but they got it in 1961, right? So now they have it, and this is history, right? Like, this is a huge, this is the first Black Oscar winner, Hattie McDaniel. A decade later, somebody stole it. It went missing.
What?
They've never found it.
How did they not protect that?
They never found it. So it was just in 2023 that the Academy announced it would replace the plaque, and they presented it to the Howard University Chadwick A. Boseman College of Fine Arts. But her OG Oscar, still missing.
Oh my God.
Somebody out there has it.
Yeah, because you can't sell it. They know where it came from, so you just keeping it.
Yep. All right, so America used to have a really big streaking problem back in the 70s.
Oh.
Yeah. So particularly in 1974, there was a bunch of streakers, and it was like the height of the sexual revolution. And Robert Opel ran naked across the stage at the 74 Oscars, and the there was a host, and the host was like just unflappable, said, "Isn't it fascinating to think that probably the only laugh that man will ever get in his life is by stripping off and showing his shortcomings?" Now, here's the thing. They think this actually might have been planned because there have been so many streaking. So what better way to get buzz for the Oscars? Because they're like, how did a naked man sneak backstage at one of the most heavily guarded events of any given year? So they're like, it had to have been a shtick for the show, but they just played it off like some guy got out there and ran it.
Especially as good as you just said, security has been at that event.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So that's your dark side of the Academy Awards.
The Burt Show. Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's entertainment buzz.
Well, this is not the dark side of the Academy Awards. This might be the cringy side of it. Mm. So this clip has been going viral from the Academy Awards on Sunday and has everything to do with some of the writers for one of the more controversial films, Amelia Perez. So a song from the film, El Mal, won an award. And so, of course, the writers get up on stage and they decide to say their thank yous and whatnot. And then at the end of their speech, they decided to give a little treat for the audience that people are not taking as a treat.
And thank you to Emilia. Epifania. Emilia.
What is going on?
Epifania.
They just kept going and going and going. I guess that's one of the songs from Amelia Perez. I have not seen the film, but they were just on cloud nine so high that they just decided to give everyone a little sample of one of the songs that was in the film.
You were not supposed to perform your song. You were supposed to go up there and accept your award. Call it a day.
They're like, gosh darn it, we're going to make people hear this. Even if they're not going to the film to watch this, they are going to hear us sing. Zoe Saldana also had a really compelling speech that had a little bit of a cringy moment in the beginning where she started crying out for her mommy. This was a roller coaster. She won for Best Supporting Actress for Amelia Perez, and she was so overcome with emotion. She was crying in the beginning, and then she was coming back strong and then crying again. It was very powerful, but definitely a roller coaster.
Mommy! Mommy! My mom is here. My whole family is here. I am floored by this honor. Thank you to the Academy for recognizing the quiet heroism and the power in a woman like Rita. And talking about powerful women, my fellow nominees, the love and community that you have offered me is a true gift, and I will pay it forward. Thank you so much.
So she's also causing a lot of controversy because of the press conference that she held after she accepted her award. So Amelia Perez was kind of a controversial film because it's about four women in Mexico. One of them is trans, and it's written and directed by a French man. And so a lot of people felt like this is just not the right person to make this kind of film. They felt like it was a little insensitive. So a journalist from Mexico actually asked her to respond to that criticism. And Zoe Saldana kind of apologized, but a lot of people feel like she's apologizing for people feeling that way. Like, I'm sorry you feel that way.
First of all, I'm very, very sorry that you and so many Mexicans felt offended. That was never our intention. We spoke and we came from a place of love, and I will stand by that. I don't share your opinion. For me, the heart of this movie was not Mexico. We weren't making a film about a country. We were making a film about four women.
Yes.
And these women could have been Russian, could have been Dominican, could have been Black from Detroit, could have been from Israel, could have been from Gaza. And these women are still very universal women that are struggling every day, trying to survive systemic oppression and trying to find their most authentic voices. So I will stand by that. But I'm also always open to sit down with all of my Mexican brothers and sisters and with love and respect, having a great conversation on how Amelia could have been done better. I have no problem. I welcome it.
I understand where she's coming from with that response, but then my question would be to the people that created the film, that wrote the script, then why choose Mexico? You know, if you're not going to do the country justice and you, and the people of that country don't feel like it was done well, you know, why not choose France? It was written and directed by a French man. Why not choose France or in some other European country?
Well, then France is the only acceptable one if people think that if you're a French director, you have to do everything. But that's the thing about acting and like not like suspending reality. I feel like if they would have no matter what country shoot they would have chose, somebody would come after them unless it had been France because it was a French director. And I think that's pigeonholing people.
I understand where they're coming from. Mexico was because I thought it was a true story and I thought it just happened there. But for you to pick for it to happen there and then say, I understand, I'm sorry that y'all feel that way, but I still feel this way, but I'm still willing to hear y'all out, sounds like a bit of a contradiction to me.
Yeah, 100%. All right, Casey Anthony is now on TikTok and she wants her audience to know about one thing in her life. I'm going to tell you all about it coming up on your next eBuzz on The Burt Show.
The Burt Show.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Yeah. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. Yeah. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.